Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
If you need one of our Bible studies tonight, if you'll raise your hand, then they'll bring you one of these green Bible studies, okay? This will be our guide tonight as we look into God's Word. And then we're going to have some fellowship time. We're going to have some time with Michael and Carrie where we can hug their necks and tell them what they mean to us. And I want you to know, Michael, I'm not sure if down in Wachula you can play with those glasses up like that. Man, that's kind of cool looking. You can do that in Gainesville. I don't know if you can do that in Wachula, brother. But anyway, no, what a blessing. Thank you for singing all those awesome, great hymns. The great hymns of the faith. Don't you love them? Thank you for leading us, Michael, to sing those great hymns tonight. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy. This is probably, of course, I say this too often. It's like when y'all bring desserts or something. I say, that's my very favorite, you know. This probably is in the top three of my favorite books of the Bible, the book of 2 Timothy. Here's why. This was the last book, epistle, that the Apostle Paul wrote. Now just imagine that, think about the life of Saul, a man who was persecuting the church. Saul was someone whom Jesus arrested on the road to Damascus. He smote him in a sense. He converted him. And then the disciples were worried about him and Barnabas encouraged him. We were talking about that in our life group meeting about Barnabas being such an encourager. And Barnabas encouraged him and then Paul became the great missionary that he was and went on the journeys all over the known world. We're really here, humanly speaking. We know that it's all of the Lord Jesus and his guidance, but he uses people, amen? He uses people. And so we're here largely because of, humanly speaking, because of what the Lord did through the Apostle Paul in taking the gospel to the known world. And here we are tonight studying about what he wrote, his very last book of the Bible, the book of 2 Timothy. Now, just because I love to do this, I want to give a little quiz. If you can tell me the book of the Bible that you're reminded of when I give you an object lesson, just shout it out, okay? This is what we've been studying in the last, really since the fall, in this series, The Greatest Story Ever Told, all right? What book of the Bible comes to your mind when I say the word wheelbarrow? John, that's right, because, well, we don't have time to go into every one of them. Why, okay? That's right, all right? How about binoculars? Very good, Proverbs, all right? How about a Kleenex? All right, good. Lamentations and Jeremiah. Now, I want you to know the kids always win this, okay? But the adults are getting it too. I've even heard that there was an answer that came from one of the back rows. I mean, it's amazing what you guys are learning. I'm just kidding. Okay. All right. How about a hymn book? All right, very good. All right, how about a broken record? Judges. Okay, repeated over and over again in the book of Judges is the people did that which was right in their own eyes. In other words, that is just repeated over and over again. The people did what was right in their own eyes. God sent them a judge, and God corrected it, okay? All right, how about, I love this one, Sweet and Low, Leviticus. That's right. Mike Weldon gave us that one. What is sweet and low? It's a substitute. The book of Leviticus is about how that God created a substitute for us in paying for our sins. All right? Now, so let's get into 2 Timothy, written by Paul, his very last letter from a Roman prison. Now, this is one of the most encouraging, one of the most encouraging books of the Bible. He's writing it to his young pastor that he had mentored, that he had discipled. He had seen him mature and grow, and he's writing him to encourage him. And so there's so many great things here that we want to talk about. But this was from the Apostle Paul, written from prison, about somewhere between 64 and 68 A.D. As it turns out, history tells us that Paul never left Rome. He never left this prison except to be killed. Excuse me. He was beheaded for his faith. And it seems to indicate in the fourth chapter that he kind of sensed it. He knew it was coming to an end. And so he writes this endearing letter to his young son in the faith, Timothy. All right? Now, I want to give you what I believe to be the theme. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. You therefore must endure hardship, excuse me, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Now, there's a lot of different object lessons given in this book of the Bible. There's the athletic picture. There's this picture of a soldier. But I want us to hone in on that one, because I believe that the theme is a soldier of Jesus Christ. We're going to let that be our theme, right? That's going to be our theme. We are to endure hardness as a soldier of Jesus Christ, realizing this, that no one who's a soldier who has been given a commission in battle entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Oh no, he has set those things aside in order to be obedient to what his commanding officer has said. Now, the word was that Timothy, being a young man, almost like a teenager, was sort of timid. So I want you to, number one, Timothy, and it has a blank with the question mark there. I want you to write the word timid. Was he timid? That's what some scholars think. He was a little bit timid. And so in this book, Paul encourages him to take a strong stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul basically has one more shot at Timothy. This is it, this letter. He has one more chance to encourage him. He has one more chance. He's about to leave this life. He's about to go to heaven. And he's a soldier of the Lord Jesus, and he's trying to pass this along to young Timothy. And so the blank there, is he timid? Well, look at verse 7 of chapter 1. He says to Timothy, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." He's saying, let me say this to you, Timothy. God has not given you a spirit of fear. You know, when you walked off, I was saying, Lord, I hope he's going to get me a... Thank you, Coley. Can I have a little ice in that? No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Okay. So Timothy, Paul is saying to him, look, you are the pastor in Ephesus. He's saying, listen, you're a little timid. Don't be timid. God has not given us a spirit of fear. There's no reason to be fearful when you embark on anything that Jesus has called you to do. He has given us a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. So I'm going to break this down into just four main things here, and they're numbered, and there's four chapters in this book, all right? The first one, the first blank, right after it says 1:7, write the word call, C-A-L-L. The first chapter is the call of a soldier of Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul is saying to him, and he's reminding him, you are called to be a soldier. If you look at verse 8 of chapter 1, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God. Look at verse 12. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him against that day. The call of a soldier of Jesus Christ. It's a call to courage. Verse 12 is one of my favorite verses of Scripture. It's a military, there's military terminology used in it. When it says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep, that word keep, circle it. That's a military word used to mean to mount guard. I am persuaded, Timothy, that if God has called you to be the pastor in Ephesus, I promise you that he is going to mount a military guard of his forces around your life, and I promise you, you're going to make it until that day. What is that day? The day of Jesus Christ in his second coming. You will persevere. You will make it to the end because God is going to help you and God is going to be with you. You see, he's reminding him of his call, a call to courage. By the way, that verse, Tommy Lee was a professor at Southwestern Seminary. He wrote a great commentary on 2 Timothy. And here's his quote, Mike Weldon, in the New American Commentary. Every time I read my New American Commentary, I think about Mike Weldon. Mike Weldon has a stack of the New American Commentaries on his shelf. He studies from them, and I'm telling you, the thing is that big. I've got some of them online. I've got some of them in myself, but when I saw those, every time I read the New American Commentary, I think about Mike reading it. Sometimes I think when I quote things, I say, well, Mike may know that I quoted that from the New American Commentary. But anyway, here's what Tommy Lee says about verse 12. Paul was affirming that God can keep a life or ministry committed to him in a position of perfect safety. God will keep the recipients of his promises safe to the end. I love that. Boy, that's encouraging. So, the call to courage, and then a call to faithfulness. In verse 13, he goes on, it says, hold fast. In other words, you've got to be faithful. You got to hold on. Hold fast to the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. The things that he learned from Paul, he's saying, you know you learned them from me. I'm telling you to hold fast. You hold true to the things that have been poured into your life. So chapter 1 is the call of a soldier. And this is generally speaking, not dealing with every single verse, but as a general rule, I like to think of this as taking an airplane ride over a book of the Bible. Okay, that's what we're doing. We're getting the big perspective. The call of a soldier of Jesus is a call to courage. It's a call to faithfulness. The second thing is the character of a soldier of Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace. That word grace is a word where we understand the idea of character. You be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And then he says this, I want you to transfer that to other people. The things you have learned from me among many witnesses, commit. The word commit means to make a deposit. You get paid. You get income. You take your money or you take your check and you take it and you make a deposit. You deposit things that are valuable. He's saying the things that you've learned from me, I want you to make a deposit. Where? In other faithful people. It begins with your character. Your character has been challenged and changed. Now you're doing it in other people's lives. And he says, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So part of the character of a soldier of Christ is the idea of determination. Staying at it. He's saying, look, I'm writing you one last time. I'm about to die. I'm about to go into heaven. Timothy, you better hold on. You need to hold on to the character that has been poured into your life and be determined to do that. And then you need to have the right perspective. Look at verse 14. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers, but be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Your character is a character of perspective, Paul says to Timothy. The perspective that the word of God is to be studied. It is to be known. It is to be cherished. We are to study to show ourselves approved unto God. And then part of that character is not only determination, perspective, but then purity in verses 21 and following. There are some key verses that you've quoted and you've heard preached. Verse 21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So these are character qualities that he's reinforcing in the life of Timothy. So the call of a soldier, the character of a soldier. Chapter 3, the cautions of a soldier of Jesus Christ. In chapter 3, he starts to name things that will characterize the culture. But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. By the way, it's interesting, in all of those just terrible qualities, he puts in there disobedience to parents. I've always marveled that that's in the middle of unholy blasphemers. You go on down, unloving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, and disobedient to parents. Well, I tell you one thing. You better be careful when you're disobedient to your parents, because the Lord is not happy with it. But he's cautioning Timothy about apostasy. And he's saying, this is how you combat it. Verse 14, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Boy, Timothy had some godly people in his life. And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then he gives us this very familiar verse of scripture. And think about it in the context of him telling Timothy, there's going to be a caution. Don't let yourself get sidetracked by the culture. But the way to combat that, the way to combat apostasy, is to stay on the word. Verse 16, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we see that there's the caution of a soldier. And then the last thing, and by the way, I don't know, I just think this way. I don't know if you guys, this even makes sense to you, but I'm the one talking, so I'm going to say it, okay? This is the last book. Chapter 4 is the last chapter. It's almost like it's squeezing down upon the things that are important. And it just hits me, and I am blessed just in thinking about this is the last letter from the Apostle Paul, the last chapter, maybe the last, we would say the last page of a letter. What would he say at the very end? All right? So the last blank there is the charge of a soldier of Jesus Christ. So what were the four? The call of a soldier, the character of a soldier, the caution of a soldier, and then the charge of a soldier. He says, preach the word. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. That is the kerygma. The Greek word means to proclaim. It doesn't necessarily mean be a preacher. It means for all of us as believers to be a part of the evangelistic process, to where we are sharing the gospel message with people. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. So, what is his charge? His charge is to preach. His charge is also, he tells us how he is comforted. He's comforted in verses 6 through 8, where he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering." This, by the way, is the section of scripture that leads scholars to believe that Paul knew he was about to lose his life. Paul was saying, look, this is it. I really feel that they're about to enact the sentence upon me, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. By the way, this just came to me from another time I studied this. That word departure is like the untying of a ship. It's like the ship was just sitting there in the bay, and it was untied, and guess what it did? It just kind of moved. I wonder if that's what death is like for a believer. You know, we're just loosely tied here anyway, aren't we? One day the Lord's going to come, and he's just going to, that little knot that's over that dock post, Matthew, he's just going to take that thing, he's just going to lift it. It's going to be like when Enoch, the Bible says Enoch walked with God and he was not. The Lord was walking with Enoch, and finally one day the Lord said, "Enoch, I think you're closer to home, to my home, than you are to go back to your home. Why don't you just come on, just keep on going?" Enoch was and he was not. But this is that type word. He says, "For the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight." See, he's using that battle theme. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." You know what he's comforted by? He's comforted by his clear conscience that he did what God called him to do. He wasn't perfect. The Apostle Paul wasn't perfect. As a matter of fact, he was a type A guy that was kind of harsh on people. You ever known anybody like that? He's real harsh on people. But we're going to learn something about him in this last book here, in this last phrase, a few verses here about how that changed. So, the charge of a soldier: preach the word, be comforted because you have a clear conscience. And then the last thing in verses 9 through 23, he talks about priorities. Boy, and I tell you, I could go several nights on this one thing right here. This is so marked. So many lives, this particular passage, because he gets down to the very end, and he talks about, we don't have time to go into all, but he talks about people, and he talks about the Word of God. Here are his priorities. He says there in verse 9, "Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, not having loved this present world, and departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia." Then he says this, "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry." Mark is the guy who Paul kind of blew up one time. Mark got homesick on a trip. They were on a mission trip, and Mark got homesick and said, "Man, I'm going back." And so Paul and Barnabas went. Well, when they got back, they were going to go again, and they said, "Let's go get Mark." And Paul said, "Uh-uh, he ain't going with me again." And there was a contention about it, so much so that Barnabas split from the Apostle Paul. And by the way, when Barnabas made that choice, we don't hardly hear, I don't think, I could be corrected on this, but I think I'm telling it to you straight. I do not think he was mentioned again in the Bible. When he unhitched his rope from the Apostle Paul, he was not mentioned again, but he did it because he believed in this guy, Mark. Well, Paul went and took Silas. You remember that? Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail singing? We don't know all that happened. We know that the Apostle Peter discipled Mark. Well, here at the very end of his life, the old crusty man, Paul. Man, I wish there had been more people as committed as me all during this time. You know, he was a type A like
get out, get with me or get out.
I mean, that was his approach. He said, I want you to get Mark, and I want you to bring him with you. I just think the Lord at the end of his life softened him up and let him see the value of a young man who needed to be discipled and encouraged. And Mark, by the way, gave us the gospel of Mark. Aren't you glad? So, priorities. People. And then, he says, verse 13, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come. And then he says this, and the books, especially the parchments. Scholars believe that these words here, the books and the parchments, were words to describe fragments of scripture, pieces of sacred writings. So all I'm saying to you in this final chapter of this final book that Paul wrote is I think he said some things that we need to learn, and that is what's important. He charged us to preach. He charged us to have a clear conscience in the way we live. And then he charged us to think about our priorities. What are our priorities? They're about people, and they're about the Word of God. I want us to bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.